can still be with him.
That's true too. That's what's such a trip about it. I can look back now and I could, you know, one of my favorite sayings is that hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back, you see it 100% clearly. If I knew what I knew now, because I go back to my marriage, and I could have gone, oh, yeah, we could still be married. You know what I'm saying? But the truth is, everything needed to happen exactly the way it did for me to get to the point that I'm sitting up here saying this to everybody. If any of those things had not happened, then I wouldn't be sitting here saying that. So the Course says you're supposed to declare that everything that happened in your past ultimately was for your own best interest. Because if you do that, he says you forgive your past. That is a forgiveness of your past, because your grievance is it comes from thinking something happened in your past that was harmful to you. So if you could get, well, somehow or another, my father having a problem with alcoholism was for my own best interest, not in the sense that I needed to be abused or he needed to abuse or anything like that. It happened. I can't change that happened. So let me look back on it as something that helped make me the person I am today. That's what I mean by when we say it's for your own best interest. It just helped you bring you to the realization that you're in, that not that you need to go through that to have that. If you can see, you don't have to go through it, you know. What are you getting ready to ask about?
Well,
or coming up.
Sometimes I'm in relationships that I feel, I don't know if this is an ego thing, where we talk about how learning what we can from people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like I'm in a relationship where I'm the one that always is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Through my, mm-hmm. you know, I say, okay, I'm not here to,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to Earl if you want to hear the course.
Mm-hmm.
But I teach through example and things mm-hmm. like that. But then sometimes I feel like, when do I get to learn? You know, so, but then I think, well, maybe this is my opportunity to teach, and maybe that's what this person needs to go through.
I promise you that situation, the relationship that you're talking about, that looks like it's you're the one that's receiving and you're the one that's growing as a result of it, that's coming. Just trust me on that one. If you're giving it, I guarantee you, you're going to receive it. It's just built into the law that you're going to receive it. But I love these kind of questions too, because it always brings up really cool stuff. Like, well, let's just take a minute in case everybody knows. Let's get everybody to say their names. Like I said, so we can call each other by our names and just go around the circle.
I'm Deanne.
Mm-hmm. I'm Chuck.
I'm
Gail.
Susan.
Mary.
Hallie. Okay. And Earl. Okay. What you just said. Now, this is. See if you can ride with me on this one. Every time you choose to have a relationship with someone who's less aware of the truth than you are, then you're going to have to be the one that plays big all the time, and you're going to have to be the one that makes decisions for both of you. And that's the beauty of getting to the point that you're looking for equality in relationships. So that you're in relationships with people who want to give the love to you and learn just as much as you do. Now, that comes automatically as you begin to change your mind. As you change your mind, water seeks its own level. It's just a law of the universe that you're going to start magnetizing people that are coming from your level. Or, and this is the trippy part, or you're going to start bringing that out of the people that you're around when they are around you.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not necessarily be that way any other time except when they're around you, because everybody's got the truth in them. And so all of us are capable of tapping into that if we're coming from that place ourselves. So that's what's really great about, you know, you don't have to worry about if you're going to keep that going, but that's what happens in the beginning. Because in the beginning, if you'll notice, yeah, I don't know if you got a lot of friends that's in the truth, on the path, but you very seldom see people on the path that's with people that's on the path.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Think about anybody you know that says that they're a truth seeker, and just think about how few of them that their partner is also just as deeply on the truth path as they are. They're usually in relationships with regular people that they love, that they care about, who really is not into this kind of stuff. I'm not saying that that's the way it always is, but if we be honest and just be objective, that's the way it is. I know I meet more people than the average person, and in practice, anybody that comes to my class that I talk to and I get to know better, their partner is not in the truth. their partner is not as deep in the course. I'm not saying it as a criticism or a judgment, but I'm just saying if that's the case, then you can't expect that person to live by the thought system that you're living by because they're not studying it. So therefore, of course you would have to be the one that's being forgiving. And of course, because it's you the one that believes in freedom, and it's you the one that's saying I'm responsible, and it's you the one that's trying to, you see what I'm saying? You're the one that's going to have to live by your belief system. And if you are a person who is taking responsibility and trying to be more loving and all that stuff, and the other person isn't, then of course they're not going to act as loving as you. Of course they're not going to be as conscious as you. And of course they're not going to see themselves as responsible as you. So in the beginning, if you're going to be in that kind of relationship, you have to be more forgiving. But the interesting thing about it is, if you're sincere about that, they're going to either become that way themselves, or that relationship is going to shift. That's only two things that can happen. Either you're going to give yourself peace about them being that way, or they are going to change with you, or you're going to choose out of the relationship and somehow another. Those are the three options, you know, because I could just decide that I'm okay with this person being the way they are, even if they're not into this stuff, because I love them. So therefore, I love you unconditionally. You don't have to be into this stuff if you don't want to, and you can be the way you are. And when you act crazy, I'm going to overlook it and I'm going to forgive it. And I don't feel like it's a sacrifice because I'm glad to do it. I want to do it. You see what I'm saying? Or you're going to be that way, and there's something about you being that way that's going to trigger them to also come out of that place too and start to become more understanding, compassionate, and loving. Even if they're not into the course, well, what difference does that make if they're being loving and compassionate and understanding? Or
Can they help but change? They may or may not.
You know what I'm saying? They may or may not. They may or may not change. They may not be in their soul growth pattern lesson right now to do that right now. It's my experience has been, you don't have to put anybody out of your life. They go on their own without you doing anything, or they come on their own without you doing anything. I never call anybody up and say, because I'm in the Course in Miracles and I'm on this other level of consciousness now, I can't be with you anymore. I find that people who love conflict and drama just can't hang around me very long. Even if it's just look like they got moved out of town, or not. It's not even like we had a fight. All of a sudden I just noticed the phone call's not happening anymore. We're not around each other anymore. Have anybody else noticed that? That people that they used to be around when they were more drama prone themselves are just not there anymore? You know, so that's to make it okay for people to come and go is like a major, major accomplishment in this on the path. Our attachment to people is one of the things that delays us the most. Our attachments. We're the only creatures on earth that get attached to everything. Don't want to let nothing go. Never. No matter how much it hurts us, we want to be right there with it. And no other creatures do that but the human being. You check all through the animal kingdom, everywhere. We're the only ones never let our children go. You know, it's like we're these clinging creatures. We just can't let anything go. The Klingons. Like they say in Star Trek, the Klingons. Yeah, it's a trip. People get mad when you say don't cling. What do you mean? They're so associated with love. You know, I don't know if you remember this book that was real popular back in the 80s. It was called Illusions. It was about the reluctant Messiah. And they told this story at the beginning of the book about these creatures at the bottom of a riverbed that clung to the rocks at the bottom of the riverbed. And one creature decided one day that they was tired of clinging to the rocks, and he was just going to take a chance and let go. And trust and see where the flow of the current took him, and he let go. And I love it. It said he was immediately dashed to the rocks because the current, you know, hit him. And so he was immediately he said, but he refused to grab hold again. So the current eventually lifted him up and then carried him down the stream, and said, and the creatures down the stream looked up and said, you know, God. you know what I'm saying? And I always think about that story because that's us. It's like when you decide not to do it the way that the world taught you, and then your life starts to change, and people say, you're lucky, or you're more blessed, or people just